This evening we read the Loving Kindness Sutra, and it's from the Metta Sutta. And Metta is a practice of compassion for all beings. Often it begins with practice focused on someone we love and care for. And we hold that person in our heart and we wish them well. And there are phrases we can say along with this, with these wishes, wishing that people would be at ease and be at peace. And then one wishes well to a person who one feels more neutral about. Maybe someone you don't know very well, someone who is more of an acquaintance or you may just see on occasion picking up a coffee. And we wish that person well. We hold that person in our hearts. And then we extend our loving kindness to someone that we find challenging, that maybe we even have very strong negative feelings toward. And of course, this is often a place where the whole practice is very difficult for us. It's an interesting practice. I once heard someone say that they felt that the practice was done for ourselves. So you do the practice and you are touched by the practice of metta, of loving kindness. And having done this practice a number of times myself, I find that that is true, that there is some quality that that I often feel a warmth growing inside of me as I hold people in my hearts over time. And I find that forgiveness comes often in the places where I've been harboring resentments. And I realize that my anger about the things that people have done, maybe even people I don't know personally, but people I know of, that anger can dissipate after time. And I can start to truly wish somebody well. Often I realize that if that person could be healed, that they would be very unlikely to carry out the types of things that I consider harmful that I often witness. But lately I've been, of course, thinking about that quote. I also thought, but we also don't do it for ourselves. We also really do it for the person. For the people that we hold in our hearts. I think that it is really that sincere intention that matters, the sincerity of our care for all beings. And we find that as we go through this, we do indeed kind of purify ourselves as we touch into forgiveness and warmth for all beings. But this is also part of the transformation of the world. This interconnectedness that we recognize while our own hearts are filled with anger and judgment, it is hard to be kind in the world. So easy to be triggered into reactivity. And of course, then we go about spreading the very kinds of anger that we are so frustrated with in other people. So it really is something that we do for others, for the sake of others, that others really can be well, that we are causing less harm in the world because our hearts are filled with compassion, care, forgiveness, a rather transformative practice. But I think that it's also true that often, and this is why I paired this second chant with it today, the Shinran chant, blinded by passions. Although we may wish that we could simply be loving and forgiving and compassionate all the time, isn't it just true that we aren't? Although my eyes, blinded by passions, do not see the brilliant light that embraces me, the great compassion never tires, always casting light upon me. This is a beautiful reading, very short, but so lovely in its invitation for us to have faith in something bigger than ourselves. How many times have I entered into the Loving Kindness Sutra and found that it's very difficult for me to get to that place of genuine hope, care for someone who I have seen do many, many terrible things, cause great harms in the world, and yet here I am wishing that person that they be at ease? No, I wish they'd suffer. suffer the pain that they're inflicting on others so that they might wake up and stop doing it. And then, of course, we realize, wait a minute, they already are suffering that pain, and that's exactly why they're doing it. Filled with greed, constantly suffering from an insatiable desire for more, they go out and inflict harm on others. For example, my wishing more harm on that person is not going to help that person, and it's not going to help the world. This isn't, as you all know, I've said so many times, these qualifications, this doesn't mean that we stop advocating for justice and those and these changes in the world that are so necessary. But it means that maybe we can approach this work with love in our hearts, love, care, that it is coming from that place of wholeness and healing. But how? How do we come from that place of wholeness and healing when we are blinded by passion? Blinded by our own anger, judgments, or any of the other great passions that afflict us. We generally refer to greed, anger, and ignorance. When I'm caught in these places of anger or greed, when I'm lost in my certainty about other people being simply evil, or whatever it may be, whatever passion may have hold of me in any moment, dividing me from others and from the world, there's this teaching. When I don't see the brilliant light that embraces me, still great compassion never tires, always casting light upon me. I am not always able to call forth this loving kindness through force of my own will. There is a quality in our practice where we simply observe the way that things are without having to change ourselves, without having to create anything. Why? Because the universe is already shining bright and we are literally inseparable from it. This is simply how things are. And sometimes when I am lost in my passion, I can't see that. But it is still true. And so our practice is simply to bear witness when we are lost in our passions. To notice, oh, that's what's arising right now. I'm lost. And then there is this third leg of the stool that I speak of relatively infrequently. We talk about three legs of the stool, if you will, of practice that balance out our practice. Great effort. Great diligence, we might say for that word. Great doubt. This is our doubt in our own thoughts, which are often so divisive. And great faith. great faith that we are literally living in the vast Buddha's heart. That we are in this vast universe, this infinite, boundless container that is always holding us, that we are a part of it and it is part of us, inseparable. And sometimes we need faith because sometimes we just don't see it. I'd like to give everyone permission to fail. Permission to have those moments of being caught in our anger, frustration, and passions. To realize that they are just causes and conditions, you know, born out of causes and conditions that are beyond our control, that they too go their own way, but that we don't have to act on them. We can abide. We can pause. Be present with, stay curious. Be compassionate with ourselves. The loving kindness metta practice is often most difficult for people to give to themselves. Are you able to do that with yourself when you are lost in passion, when you are suffering? Will you let the universe hold you? Will you let your cushion hold you solid on top of this earth? Will you let gravity keep you here? Will you let the atmosphere breathe into your heart and lungs? Let yourself be held in this great compassionate presence. The Loving Kindness Sutra says, with a boundless heart, should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upward to the skies and downward to the depths, outward and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. That is not how we always show up. We don't always meet that person when we sit down on the cushion. Yes, wouldn't it be lovely if? Yes, we can aspire toward. Yes, one of the legs of the stool might be described as our own dedicated practice toward this kind of compassionate presence and awareness. But another leg of the stool is doubt in the ego that tells us we have already made it. And faith. Faith that there is something bigger than my limited little ego at work here. And so we sit and we pay attention and we stay curious and we look. What is it? What is it that holds us? What is this light shining? Even in our most difficult, angry, judgmental moments, we can just realize that that's what's present and be compassionate with ourselves and let ourselves be held. And over time, the boundless, compassionate light does reveal itself. And our faith deepens. What is this boundlessness? I'm not trying to point towards some mysterious something that you haven't already experienced. It is things just as they are. And often we overlook just this. We do get so caught in our passions that we overlook the way that when we step down on the earth holds us up. It is a miracle. Too easily overlooked. And so we sit and practice and look again and again, looking for that which sustains us, nourishes us, touching into that. And in that place of realizing our inseparability, we find that great loving kindness. And we can't help but wish it for all beings. Thank you, everyone.